We were running out of garbage things. Luke 5.
Got a special message for last day of the year. Last day of the decade.
Yeah,
let's figure it out.
It's just like any other day.
You don't observe time?
No. Which calendar are you using? Are you using the universal calendar? Or
American calendar.
American calendar.
Texas calendar.
Luke 5. We stopped in verse 21, I think. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" I can't remember if we looked at another objectionable.
Stopped in 22, what reason you in your hearts? Studying reasoning, scripture is bad and good.
Well, the reason was we studied reason in 21.
Oh. Yeah, began to reason. Mm-hmm.
All right. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
let's look at one more objectionable use of reason in your hearts. Okay, or reason. Go to Mark 9.
Reason or not reason. Okay, we can start.
Mark 9,
verse 30.
Luke 9.
And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, "The Son of Man is delivered unto the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day." But they understood him not. They understood not the saying, and were afraid to ask him. And he came to Capernaum, and began in the house. And being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way?" But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and saith unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, the servant of all." Again, they begin to dispute within themselves as dialogizomai. It's through reason try to come up with an answer. And every place except where they were musing about either the coming of the Messiah or Mary when she was confronted with an angel and he told her all these incredible things, it's never, whenever, you, always they, when they reason within themselves, it's objectionable in the scriptures. All right? And now in verse... Where are we? Back to Luke 5. And then it says, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies?" Blasphemies is blasphemia. And it means in the Greek, normal Greek language, it means objectionable speaking or injurious speech. But in the spirit, In the scriptures, it means denying the foundation. And what is the foundation? You can say, well, of course it says the foundation is Jesus Christ. But what is that? You speak blasphemies from God's standpoint anytime you speak or think where it is finished isn't the predicate. Because you are denying the foundation. So in all your thoughts, that's why it says, let your speech be seasoned with salt. Let your bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. No thought can stand against it is finished. No thought can stand against wherever you look, you see the perfection of his holiness. No thought can stand against you own all things. No thought can stand against you are at the first source, of all, the only source of all things, on the mercy seat. No thought can stand against you are one with God in Christ. And so any thought that denies all of those things, and it denies it by not recognizing it, is blasphemy because it denies the foundation. Now this is big, because one of the things you do not want to do is to be guilty of blasphemy. Now this will transform how you think and how you speak, if it can be, if you grok it. What? You're looking like you're objecting. There's nothing to think except glorify God. You know what glorify means? Glorify is the Greek word doxo. And it means correct thinking. If your thinking is correct, you can do nothing but glorify him. You're doing it, Gary. You're going a mile a minute.
It's just the older way of thinking. Trying to put it together. When you're glorifying your thinking, it seems like that.
No, I didn't say that. I said what glorify means is to be thinking properly. What be thinking properly means is there is no blasphemy.
Yeah. It's like clarifying who God is versus all the little murky weirdnesses in your head. And so once that's out of the way, he's glorified because that's all there is.
Amen.
It's clear.
Yeah, and we've talked many times in the past about glorify meant to make clear. And to make clear now means all the things we just said.
Yeah, when you're talking before, it's like once you realize your own blasphemy, like, okay, I've been thinking about myself. If you try and defend that, that might be even worse than the blasphemy.
Well, I want somebody to... That's what I'm baiting you for. I want somebody to defend it.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Don't you feel bad about baiting us?
No.
Yeah.
He wants to fight. How does that work for you? Yeah. Baiting us.
I've been doing it for 38 years.
Pretty good, actually.
Who is this?
Where are we at? Please.
Which speaketh blasphemies.
Luke 5:21.
So the Pharisees thought Jesus was blaspheming because...
Of course, because he forgave sin.
Yeah.
Now, I promise you, this is why they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service. If you spoke this in any of the major, in some of the major churches, you would be guilty of blasphemy in their mind. Now the question is, where are you? Blasphemy means to deny the foundation and deny the work of the foundation. If the work of the foundation has perfected you forever, if the work of the foundation has defined and declared that you own all things, that all things exist for your purpose, if the truth of the foundation has said, wherever you look, you see it's finished, you see the perfection of his holiness. Now tell me a place where your thoughts cannot be blasphemous.
He says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Okay, now with this in mind, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, everybody, does anybody, I mean, this is a big thing that we've just declared here. Does anybody disagree with it? Does anybody not understand it?
Well, I may not understand it.
The foundation is it is smashed. Anything that disagrees with that is the problem.
All right, here, now, this just puts the seal on it. This certifies it. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high place that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when or once your obedience is fulfilled. Now all this is dependent on one singular thing, that the temple has been dedicated. If you as the temple of the living God have been dedicated, and you continue on in the way of the Gentiles, then God help you. What?
Well, what's the way of the Gentiles in this?
It's just thinking.
Trying,
thinking, exerting,
new programs.
Having the things that Gentiles esteem, you esteem. The things that Gentiles want, you want. The things that Gentiles fear, you fear. There's a boom line that separates. And it's not subtle. It's this bright, clear light that separates the curse from the blessed. Or there should be in each of us. What?
Amen.
You have any expansions?
Not at the moment.
Tom, you're chewing.
I'm chewing. I've got a back spasm that's driving me nuts. That's why I keep wiggling.
All right. Back to Luke. Who can forgive sins, in verse 21, but God alone? Chapter 5. Let's look at alone as monos, it means without companion. And for the places, let's go about this forgiving sin. Let's go to first to Psalm 32. See, this is where the Pharisees and the doctors and the scribes got this. It's other places too, but I don't feel like studying all that much on it.
Psalm 32?
Yep. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Notice two different things, transgression and sin. Transgression, what you do, sin is who you are. Blessed is...
We're being forgiven for who we are.
Because you're dead, that's how you're forgiven. That's what happened. And your baptism sealed it. Your baptism buried you. So why do you continue on? Because you've given breath to the evil one. And he's raised him from the dead, from his deadly head wound, by your own actions and thoughts. No, it's the nature of the cursed one. It's not the nature of you if you're a child of God.
Well, obviously.
All right. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord impugneth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night the hand was heavy upon me. My moistures turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Now let's go to Isaiah 43. It's a little bit clearer here.
The reason I said that about nature is like the word sin is hidden. Just that word itself doesn't communicate, at least to me, the full essence of what they're talking about when we say you are sin. So when I said nature, it's like all of the ways of your own self.
Amen.
That manifest, and those are against
God. Amen.
Here we go.
Isaiah 43, starting in verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offering, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet Cain with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins, and thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. Now what he's saying is, all of the sacrifices, all of the things that you have done in the temple, they've wearied you because you didn't see through the parable. You didn't see that these were all speaking of only Messiah. You cannot be wearied once you see all things in Messiah. It's impossible. He will show you wondrous things out of his law. And the wondrous thing that he will show you out of his law is more and more of himself. Okay, now watch in verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out that transgression for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together, declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father has sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to the reproaches. And now there's a new creation. His own right arm has gotten him the victory. His own seed. His own Christ. His own Son has gotten him the victory. But if you continue in the way of the Gentile, then the sacrifice of the Son is of none effect to you. If you see this, you can do nothing but repent. But not just repent once. Repent becomes a way of life. It's a constant. Amen?
This is like, he says, it's like you've forgotten that I'm the one who's actually forgiving your sins, not all the stuff you're doing, and, you know,
amen,
all the deals you're going through. And, you know,
ouch.
How these things speak.
Look back to Luke. Verse 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, Why reason you in your hearts? perceived as epignosko. Epi means to, it makes something intensive, and genosko is to know, so to intensively know. He knew our thoughts, and why they are, the thoughts and reason is the same word, in your hearts and your inner being. Again, this is why God doesn't care what your outward expression is. He only cares that you, as the temple of the living God, that the artifices of that temple are in the right place. Look at the temple. The burnt offering is your stomach. I mean, the burnt altar of burnt offering is your stomach. And everything else goes up into the holy place. And in here, in your mind, is where the seven candlesticks, the candlesticks are, where the showbread is, where the altar of incense is, where the mercy seat is, where the Ark of the Covenant is, where the cherubim are. And the reason is that on Pentecost, the temple of the living God descended. And so in him, what happens in you is that you have become transparent from the standpoint, in effect, you are walking through the walls of the temple and are seated on the mercy seat in him and with him and in God. You're under the wings of the cherubim. And it's only your mind can take you away. You see this. You know it. You perceived with the senses the perfection of his holiness. And now all of time is passing through that temple. And it's going opposite of whatever. It's going from west to east. And all of you that has not part of that mystery is going out the east gate into the valley of Hinnom, or Gehenna, the dump. Flesh and blood can't inherit this, nor can the activity of flesh and blood. But for some reason, by his mystery, we are necessary for the perfection of the bride, each one of us. We are knit together in this mystery of love. There's no more I. I is gone. If you glory, it's his glory. If you suffer, it's his suffering. You are out of the picture. You are gone forever. Everything else is just crap. What?
It is.
Why were you smiling?
I was smiling just because I was thinking about the, you know, the hardest thing in the world is, for me anyway, is to get rid of my expectation about the way things are supposed to be. You know, and things are constantly happening that's almost like if I was awake, I would be saying, you know, maybe my expectation of the way things are supposed to be is completely wrong. And I don't have to even consider it. You know, I mean, that's, and in the sense of, you know, talking about like, okay, the new year is coming up and all that stuff. You know, it's like our expectation or whatever it is we think, you know, it's just air.
It's just smoke. It's smoke and mirrors. What, Joe?
I was listening to John. Trying not to, Gary.
Trying not to.
Successfully until you ask him a question.
I don't think.
Why reason you in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sin be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. That's a good place to stop. I don't feel like talking anymore.
And you don't have any more
rollover
minutes.
Does yours say in 22, you say, why? Mine says, what? Reason ye.
Same thing. Same word. You know, the thing, if something inside you didn't witness that this is true, then we got a problem. If something inside you did witness it, then you still have a problem if you don't live it.
I can't win.
Yeah.
You're right, you're dead. He wins, not I, not you.
Right. Yeah, that's the only way it can be lived, because you can't do it. That's where the repentance comes in.
All right, take a big guy.